إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، فهذا الدرس الثاني من دروس شرح رياض الصالحين. This is the درس الثاني, the second class from رياض الصالحين. The last thing we mentioned is that Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen رحمه الله تعالى, he was elaborating on the importance of intention in the deeds, and that because of the deed, or actually because of the intention, the reward for the deeds might not be the same. And he gave an example. Maybe two people doing the same action, same way, as that which is apparent to others, they're doing the same way. But according to the intentions that only Allah knows, then the reward will vary. فقال الشيخ رحمه الله فقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما الأعمال بالنيات. The statements of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, deeds are judged according to intentions, to the end of the hadith. قال هذه ميزان لكل عمل لكنه ميزان الباطن. So this hadith is like a scale for all the deeds, for all actions. But this is like the hidden actions. This is the scale for those hidden actions. وقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما أخرجه الشيخان عن عائشة رضي الله عنها من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد ميزان للأعمال الظاهرة. And then he mentioned as for the hadith that is collected by Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, the hadith the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever does an action that is not in accordance to that which we were upon, it will be rejected. He said this hadith is a scale for the actions that are performed openly, not hidden. قال ولهذا قال أهل العلم هذان الحديثان يجمعان الدين كله. And the Shaykh said that's why the people of knowledge, the scholars, they said that these two narrations, they comprehend and include the entire religion. The first hadith is the hadith here that we're still discussing. إنما الأعمال بالنيات. Actions are judged according to the intentions behind them. And the other hadith, من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد. Whoever does an action that is not in accordance to what we are upon, therefore is rejected. So he says these two narrations, the people of knowledge, they said they include the entire religion. ثم ضرب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مثلا يطبق هذا الحديث عليه. And then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in this hadith, إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he gave an example to make this clear and understood clearly. قال فمن كانت هجرته إلى الله ورسوله فهجرته إلى الله ورسوله. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, so therefore, whoever hijra, immigration, was for Allah and His Messenger, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, he explained what that means, immigration towards Allah and His Messenger, means towards the legislation of Islam. towards what Allah has legislated, to act upon the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So that person, immigration is for Allah and His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And whoever immigration was for a dunya, was for somebody who's immigrated for worldly benefits, or for a woman to marry, his immigration would be for what he immigrated for. First of all, the Shaykh, he began to explain al-Hijra. What is Hijra? This term we hear it a lot, Hijra. Al-Hijra, an yantaqil al-insan min dar al-kufr ila dar al-Islam. Shaykh says, Hijra is that when a Muslim immigrates from the land of kufr to the land of Islam. For example, a person may live in a land of kufr like America and cannot practice his religion. This is the condition. Cannot practice his religion. So a person will move from that land of kufr to a land of Islam. This is Hijra. Once again, he says the Hijra is that when a person lives in a land of disbelief and cannot practice his religion, cannot practice it, then that person moves to the land of Muslims when he can practice his religion with them. That is called the Hijra. قَالَ وَإِذَا هَاجَرَ النَّاسُ فَهُمْ يَخْتَلِفُونَ فِي الْهِجْرَةِ Shaykh says, and keep in mind that when the people they make that move and that immigration, they are different. They have different purposes. From them, منهم من يهاجر ويدع بلده إلى الله ورسوله يعني إلى شريعة الله التي شرعها الله على لسان رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهذا هو الذي ينال الخير وينال مقصوده ولهذا قال صلى الله عليه وسلم هجرته إلى الله ورسوله أي فقد أدرك ما نوى. Says from the people who make that move, they pack their stuff and they leave, they go to a Muslim land. So a person leaves his place and made the hijrah towards Allah and His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Shaykh says meaning towards that which Allah has legislated on the tongue of His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If the person does it for this intention, he is the one that will get this good. And he is the one who is intended by the statement of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So his immigration is for Allah and His Messenger, because that person has achieved that which he has intended for, has intention for. الثاني هاجر لدنيا يصيبها. The second type of person that make immigration, they make that move, but for worldly benefits. Shaykh says, example, a man, he likes wealth and business and the like. And he heard that in some Muslim land, the economy is booming. Like, for example, I don't know if it's still the case, but a couple of years ago, in UAE, especially in Dubai, the economy was very active over there, and a lot of Muslims and non-Muslims, a lot of non-Muslims, they left their countries and go there to Dubai in UAE. I don't know if it's still the case or now with this recession and all this economy, but that's what the Shaykh is saying. Somebody, he may heard about a Muslim country that the economy is booming, and then he just wants to go for that purpose, to make some money and to get a share. So he left, that person, he left the land of kufr to the land of Muslims for this purpose. That's his intention, to start a business, to make money and the like. But he doesn't intend to be upright upon his religion. No, this is not his concern. لم يهتم بدينه ولا بالاستقامة. إنما همه المال. This person's main objective to leave the land of kufr and disbelief, to go to that Muslim land, it's not because to establish the legislation of Allah and that he will learn the deen, and لا for money and for dunya. The third person هاجر من بلد الكفر إلى بلد الإسلام يريد امرأة يتزوجها. Sheikh says the third person is a person who immigrated from the land of kufr to the land of Islam to marry a woman. Because the family of that woman, they said to him, they set a condition on him. They said, the only way you will marry our daughter if you move here. We don't want our daughter to go to the land of disbelief and land of kufr. Okay? They said, we will not allow you to take our girl with you back to the land of kufr and disbelief. We want her to stay and live in the land of Islam. That man, he accepted. And he made that move to the land of Islam because of that woman. So, the Shaykh says, فَمُرِيدُ الدُّنْيَا وَمُرِيدُ الْمَرْأَ لَمْ يُهَاجِرِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. He says, so therefore this person who went for money, for worldly benefit, or he make that move to marry that woman, he didn't make that move for Allah and His Messenger. That's why the Prophet he said about these two persons, فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ. So his immigration would be for what he immigrated for. But he didn't say فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى دُنْيَا يُصِيبُ عَمْرَأَنِ الْكُحَى. He didn't say so his immigration is for that worldly benefit or for that woman he wants to marry. No, he didn't repeat the sentence as he repeated it in the first case. Whoever immigrates for Allah and His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, so his immigration is for Allah and His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. Sheikh Watani, he says, maybe because the Prophet didn't want to make too long sentence, or he want to abridge it. And also, Sheikh Watani says, he said, because in the second and the third case, the one who make a hijrah for money or make a hijrah for a woman to marry, this is a low base reason compared to the first one who made the hijrah from the land of kufr to the land of Islam for the deen, for the religion. So that's why he was not worthy to repeat it again. He was not worthy to repeat it and mention it twice, as the Prophet ﷺ mentioned it for the one who made his intention for the deen, for the religion. And then the Shaykh says, no doubt, the one who made the hijrah for worldly benefit, or made hijrah to marry a woman, is no doubt, is not comparable to the one who made the hijrah for Allah and His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. There is a big difference between the two. Then the Shaykh, rahimahullah, Shaykh Al-Taymin, he mentioned Aqsamul Hijra, different categories of immigration. The Hijra. قال الهجرة تكون للعمل وتكون للعامل وتكون للمكان. تكون للعمل وللعامل وتكون للمكان. للعمل meaning for an action. Somebody forsake and immigrate and leave off an action. العامل, people they may leave off and boycott a person who's doing certain things. And مكان meaning the place. And that's what the Shaykh is going to start with. قال القسم الأول هجرة المكان. The hijra that is related to a place. فأن ينتقل الإنسان من مكان تكثر فيه المعاصي ويكثر فيه الفسوق وربما يكون بلد كفر إلى بلد لا يوجد فيه ذلك. The Shaykh says this consists of a person make a move from an area where he lives that there is a lot of evil, sins and disobedience to Allah in the area where he lives. And this person made a hijrah to another area that have less evil. It may even still be in the same land of kufr, but he moved from one area to one area. This is a statement of Shaykh Talha al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah ta'ala. Also, he mentioned that if a person cannot move to the land of Islam, because especially in these days it's difficult. You need to have a visa, you have to have iqama, you have to have paperwork. Not everybody have the what those countries, Muslim countries, they require for the people. If you have PhD or you have some master or whatever, yes, you can go and find a job, and by that job you can have iqama and stay in that. But many people don't have this. They don't even have a bachelor or associate degree. So when they want to move, it's not like certain people may think, oh, mashallah, he's going to go to the embassy of a country, say, listen, I'm a Muslim, I want to make a hijrah. They say, okay, oh yeah, we're looking for you. No. They're going to ask him, okay, we want to go live there. What do you have? We have qualifications? No, but they just love it. They say, no, you need qualifications. So that's why some of the Mashayikh from the Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafidhahullah, he says, yes, if a person cannot make a hijrah from the land of Kufr to another land of Islam, let him at least move from the area where he is, where there is a lot of evil, and try to find a place, another area that have less evil. And especially if the area has a community, alhamdulillah, that established the deen, the sunnah, upon the way of the salaf, that person should make that move. Inshallah ta'ala, and then if Allah may be easy for him to make a move to the land of Islam, that is even better. But Shaykh Al-Taymin, rahmatullah, he says, yes, for those people who, according to their means, they make that move. They change the area where they are, that there is a lot of evil, to another area that doesn't have evil or have less evil in the same land of Kufr. قال وأعظم الهجرة من بلد الكفر إلى الإسلام. But the greatest immigration is when a person leaves the land of Kufr completely to a land of Islam. قال وقد ذكر أهل العلم أنه تجب الهجرة من بلد الكفر إلى بلد الإسلام إذا كان الإنسان لا يستطيع أن يظهر دينه. He says, and the people of knowledge, the scholars, they have mentioned that immigration from the land of Kufr to another land of Islam become wajib, obligatory upon a person who cannot practice his religion. Muslims cannot have a masjid. Women cannot dress properly as they should, no prayer, nothing, no. Now it becomes obligatory upon those Muslims to make the hijrah, according to their abilities, of course. قال الشيخ وأما إذا كان قادرا على إظهار دينه ولا يعارض إذا أقام شعائر الإسلام فإن الهجرة لا تجب عليه ولكنها تستحب. The Sheikh says, and here we bring into you rulings and regulations pertaining to hijrah and residing in the lands of Kufr. This is very important for us to understand. Sheikh Al-Athimi says, as for a person, a Muslim, who is able to practice his religion in that land of Kufr, mashallah, they allow them to practice their religion. Okay? And they are not opposed. For instance, look now, in some countries in Europe, France and other than them, they bring in a lot of things against the Muslims, like women cannot dress properly outside. They can't. No niqab and the like. And who knows what they're going to come up for this. May Allah protect the Muslims, I mean. So the Sheikh says, but if a Muslim is able to practice the religion openly and they are not opposed in that land, then hijrah is not obligatory upon them, because they can practice the religion. Hijrah is not obligatory upon them, but however, it's still recommended. Still highly is recommended. Once again, Shaykh says, if a person lives and resides in the land of Kufr, and that they cannot practice the religion openly, then hijrah become obligatory upon them to a land of Islam or another land that they can practice the religion. Keep in mind, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he allowed the Muslims to make a hijrah to Habasha. And Habasha was not a land of Islam. It was not a land of Islam. The Shaykh, he says, Ibn Uthaymeen رحمه وتعالى, but, however, if the Muslim is able to practice the religion in the land of Kufr, at this time, and they are not opposed, this time, and at this case, immigration is not obligatory. However, stays recommended for them to make the hijrah. قال وبناء على ذلك يكون السفر إلى بلد الكفر أعظم من البقاء فيه. So the Shaykh says, so, and based on this now, traveling, Muslims who travel from the land of Islam to come to the land of kufr and disbelief is greater than those who stay in the land of kufr. He says, this is based because it is obligatory upon a Muslim to leave a land when he cannot practice his religion. What about somebody coming to it? What about a Muslim coming to the same land knowing that he cannot practice his religion? Okay? قال فلا يجوز للإنسان أن يسافر إلى بلد الكفر إلا بشروط ثلاثة. The Shaykh says, it's not permissible for a person to travel, a Muslim to travel to the land of kufr except with three conditions. Muslims wants to come to from a Muslim land to a non-Muslim land. They can, but with three conditions. The first condition, أن يكون عنده علم يدفع به الشبهات. That person, he has to have some knowledge which enable him or her to, we enable that person to refute and protect himself from shubuhat, doubtful matters. قال لأن الكفار يريدون على المسلمين شبها في دينهم وفي رسولهم وفي كتابهم وفي أخلاقهم في كل شيء يريدون الشبهة ليبقى الإنسان شاكا متذبذبا. He said, why? Because the kuffar, they constantly bring to the Muslims doubtful matters and doubtful issues and confused issues in their religion about their Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. Guess your religion is this, your religion is that, your religion is this. Your Messenger did this, why he did this, why he's that, and he's that. In the book, oh, why the book said this, why your book says your book this. And in their manners, in everything, they will continue to bring this shubha to the Muslims. Why? So that the person will be in doubt about his religion. Constantly doubting. قال ومن المعلوم أن الإنسان إذا شك في الأمور التي يجب فيها اليقين فإنه لم يقم بالواجب. He said, and it is well known, if a person have doubt in those matters and issues that is obligatory upon a person to have certainty in them, then this person now is deficient in this field. فالإيمان بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر والقدر خيره وشره يجب أن يكون يقينا. He says, because having belief in Allah and in His angels, in His books, in His messengers, in the last day and the preordained decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the good and the bad of it, a person should believe in this with certainty. فإن شك الإنسان في شيء من ذلك فهو كافر.
Lay down.
He says, because if a person have the slightest doubt in any of these matters of belief, he become a kafir, aliyadu billah. And the kuffar, they continue to bring these doubts about Allah, about the angels, about the books, because a person hear this in the news, at work with his co-workers, the kuffar, with his family, neighbors, constantly this repeated on his ear. He says, the kuffar, they constantly bring to the Muslims doubtful matters. حتى أن بعض زعمائهم صرح قائلا. He says, so much so that one of the leaders of them, the kuffar, said, لا تحاولوا أن تخرجوا المسلم من دينه إلى دين النصارى، ولكن يكفي أن تشككوه في دينه، لأنكم إذا شككتموه في دينه سلبتموه الدين وهذا كافر. He is one of the leaders, maybe presidents or so, the Sheikh didn't mention. He said once in a declaration, says, don't you try to take the Muslim from his religion to the religion of Christianity. They're not going to accept. Don't tell them, listen, man, leave off Islam and come to the Christianity. They're not going to listen to you. Rather, it's enough to just bring them doubts. Bring doubts into their religion. Any matter they have doubts, bring it to them, because once he has doubt, that's enough, that's all we need. That doubt that you have, now he's going to take him away from his religion because of the doubts. He says, just put doubts for the Muslim, so he cannot have this certainty. As for you try to bring him to the deen of a Nasara Christianity that is built upon misguidance and all that, then he's not going to listen to you. He's not going to come to it, because he sees the difference. And by the way, subhanAllah, it's amazing. I just want to have to share this with you. You see the two workers that was doing the bricks outside, the wall bricks. There was a man and his son from Mexico. And the last day, could I talk to them and this, and the brother, they take care of them, Jazamullah Khairan. The last day, these are Mexicans, they barely speak English, they don't. I speak a little bit of Spanish and I try to go with them, you know. And I was talking to them, and the son told me, he says, I like your religion. He says, whatever you guys do here is good. Because they've been with us for like 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and they're watching every day. He says, you guys are serious about your religion. He says, you guys come every day, and 5 times, no fights, no music. And then he said this, and no mixing, he says, between men and women. He says, you guys respect the women. He says, because the women by themselves and the men by themselves, that this is how you show respect to the house of God, he says. He said to me, I really like your religion. I said, you can be a part of it. He says, really? I said, yeah, no problem. You can. He said, oh, I wanted to study it. And then I said, well, what's wrong with what you... He said, he's Catholic. He said, it's just money. He says, once a week, Sunday. And then, did you pay? Didn't you pay? They don't care if you're poor or not. You got still have to pay. Men and women mixing, he says. Ain't no worship. He said, that's not a worship. They get together and talk to each other and looking at each other. That's all what they come there for. And then after the service, he said, that's all they talk about. Men talking about the women and the women talking about the men. He says, no. He says, what I saw this couple weeks here, you guys, he said, this is good. This is the real thing. And that's a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first condition is that the Muslim who wants to come and live in the land of non-Muslims, they should have that knowledge that helps them. Because the non-Muslim, they don't know much. And yet there is other than them who really do it on purpose. They want to take the Muslims away from their religion. So if the Muslim doesn't have basic knowledge of his religion, he's lost. And usually who gets lost? The children. Sometimes the parents, they may not have a lot of knowledge, but they still have that, you know, love for Islam because they grow up in Islam, in a Muslim country, even though they don't know much about it. And they, alhamdulillah, even if somebody tell them something, they still pray, and when Ramadan comes, they fast. But who really pay the price? Children. They grow up not knowing anything, not hearing the adhan, not seeing the Muslims. And then they grow up like, what Islam? They don't even know what it is. Unless if they grow up in a family, alhamdulillah, that Allah has guided them to practice Islam at home, and especially if they are in a community where the people, alhamdulillah, they're trying to practice Islam correctly. That's why in the land of non-Muslims, like here America or Europe or Australia, or other than that, if in Asia too, like China and Japan and Russia and them, and some parts of India, that when a person really care about himself and his family, he needs to find a community that practices the deen correctly. And move there. Move there, even if he lose a little bit of money. What is better, to lose a little bit of money, to lose a little bit of money, or to lose your children? Money is nothing. You lose a little bit of money, but you move to a community when your children can learn Quran, Arabic, there is classes every day, and those people in that community, they are not there for money, for hizbiyah, they are not associated with any group or terrorist group, none of that. They are just doing it for Allah. They want to stay Muslims and to preserve their identity. Okay, because we know Islam is the religion that Allah accepts. And we're supposed to be Muslims and practice Islam, not only in Saudi Arabia or Pakistan or Egypt. Now, wherever you are, even if you're on the moon, you're still Muslim, you're still a servant of Allah, and you practice Islam. The second condition, أن يكون عنده دين يحميه من الشهوات. That a person wants to come to come to the land of kufr, of non-Islam, but he has to be religious. Not just a Muslim. Because some people, they're just a Muslim. Some people, they're just Muslim. But does he know Islam? Does he practice Islam? No. So this person, if he comes to the land of kufr, he's going to be lost. Why? Because of shahawat, the Shaykh says. He says, because, subhanAllah, when a person leaves the land of Islam to the land of kufr, these people, everything is permissible for them. Zina, fornication, drinking alcohol, liwat, homosexuality, lesbianism, everything is okay, it's legit. You be 18 and do whatever you want to do here. Do whatever you want to do. You're free. Disobey your Lord and Creator, no problem. So if somebody will come here and have no religion, he's gone. But if he has religion, even though he sees this thing, he's saying, well, hold on, why? Yes, but this is not good. This is not pleasing to Allah. This is haram. This is going to get me in trouble with my Lord. And this deen he has and the religion he has, alhamdulillah, he will help that person. الشرط الثالث أن يكون محتاجا إلى ذلك. The third condition for a person, a Muslim, to come to the land of non-Muslims is that there is a need for that. Not just coming for vacation, as the Sheikh mentioned that later on. No, there is a need. For example, he's sick. And that's the area, this place, that's when, inshallah, he can come and sit, for seeking a cure. Or he says, maybe this person, he's coming to that land to learn something, you know, to get a degree that is not in the land of Muslims. That specialty he wants to do and that's going to help the Muslims is not in the land of Islam. Or also a person may want to go to that land for tijara, for business. He wants to go and do some business and there and come back. He says, المهم أن يكون هناك حاجة. Says, besides the person has to have that knowledge and he has to have the religion, religious practice in his religion, and he has a حاجة, there is a need for him to travel. The Shaykh says, ولهذا أرى أن الذين يسافرون إلى بلد الكفر من أجل السياحة فقط أرى أنهم آثمون. الله أكبر. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen رحمه الله says, based on this, his opinion about those Muslims who travel to the non-Muslim land for siyaha, for tourists. As tourists, they're to spend some vacation, only they have no needs like this. He mentioned that they are sinners. Atimun, they sinners. وأن كل قرش يصرفونه لهذا السفر فإنه حرام عليهم وإضاعة لمالهم وسيحاسبون عنه يوم القيامة حين لا يجدون مكان يتفسحون فيه ويتنزهون فيه. Sheikh said, and those people who come from the land of Islam to the land of Kufr only for tourist, you know, reasons, for vacation, for fun, just to explore this land. It's not because they're sick or they have some valid reason, just to spend some time, their vacation. He says, these people, not only they're sinners, he says, but every dime or penny they spend towards that journey is haram, is forbidden for them. And that's a waste of their wealth. They will be held accountable on Yawm al-Qiyamah about it. In that day when there is no place for tourists and the like, the Shaykh says. That day when they don't find nothing but their deeds. He says, because these people, they waste their times. And they waste their money. And their characters. Now, they tarnish their character. And he said, and perhaps that person, he may not go alone, he may go and take his family with him. He said, it's amazing, how could a person leave off the land of Islam and go spend a couple of months or whatever as a vacation, as they claim, in the land of Kufr, they cannot hear the Adhan, they don't see the Muslims, rather they hear the bells of churches and the like. And then they stay there with their families and their wives and children, and then they bring with them a lot of evil. They bring with them a lot of evil, وَلَيَّادُ بِاللَّهِ. Shaykh said, this is from the bala. This is from the calamities that befall a lot of people. All this, he says, because of the sins. And then disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and disobeying the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, but certain people, when bad things happen to them after they disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, certain people, they take a lesson from that. I'm just summarizing for you what the Shaykh says in this paragraph. He says, but certain people, they do not take lessons. They're heedless, like nothing happened to them. They come with their families, and then before that trip, the wife cover up, pray, the children. Now, after the same trip, the woman rebel against the husband because she came to this land and heard about this and that and that. Now she don't want to listen anymore. Children like that. They want to act like the non-Muslims. He said, I say once again, إن الهجرة من بلد الكفر الذي لا يستطيع أن يقيم الإنسان فيه دينه واجبة. He says, once again, the Shaykh says, making hijra from the land of kufr, the land that a Muslim cannot practice his religion properly, then that person become obligatory upon that person to make the hijra. قال والسفر كذلك إلى بلاد الكفر للدعوة يجوز. The Shaykh also, he says, the traveling to going to the land of Kufr for da'wah, to teaching the people, is permissible. He said, with the condition, إِذَا كَانَ لَهُ تَأَثَرٌ وَتَأْثِيرٌ هُنَاكَ فَإِنَّهُ جَائِزْ لَنَا سَفَرُ لِمَصْلَحَ. But if that person know that by him staying in there or going over there, he's going to have impact on the people and this, nah, it's okay, it's permissible. He says that because in the many lands of Kufr, there's a lot of layman people, the Shaykh says. There's a lot of people who don't know anything. The only thing they know about Islam is that which they hear from the news, and they hear from one another, that Islam is a religion of barbarism, Islam is a religion of terrorism, that Islam is a bad religion, Islam is this, especially that some of the people who claim to be Muslims do a lot of evil. Yes, there is people who claim to be Muslims and adhere to Islam and with their names and the way they look, but they do a lot of bad things that are not from Islam, like Bin Laden and his party and others. The correct and true Muslims, hate Bin Laden for, not because he's from Saudi Arabia, or from his white, or his black, or his tall or short, no, because of his evil actions. Hate in Islam is not based on who you are, what color you are, what country you're from, no, based on the evil actions. The true Muslims who really understand Islam correctly, they do not love Bin Laden and his people, and whoever cheered for him. We hate him for the sake of Allah. And if you find the Muslims who cheer for him, they're ignorant of Islam. And they're just using their emotions. I was traveling last month to Florida, and beside me was an old man in his 80s. He has a company and stuff and this. And we were talking a little bit, and he asked me what I do, and I told him what I do and this. And then he asked me, he says, what do you think, what Bin Laden do? You know, why Bin Laden hate America and Americans? I said, this is not the only people he hates. I said, Bin Laden hates anybody who's not with him. He said, he hates me too, I'm a Muslim, see? I'm an Arab, I'm Muslim. Bin Laden hate the people like me. He says, really? I says, yes, because then they are on a program, and they have agenda. They want to get to it, they're gonna use Islam and Muslims. So when I start teaching that man a little bit about Islam and the correct Islam, and Islam is not a religion of terrorism, but Islam is a religion of peace, and call the people to Islam, the correct Islam, and I explain to him, what is the correct Islam? It's not what's going on in Iran, or in Bangladesh, or in Morocco, or in whatever country it is. No, I said, Islam is the correct Islam, you take it from its proper sources. The Quran, the Sunnah, as understood by the true Muslims, the first generation, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. And I began to explain to him a little bit what is Islam and this and that. That man, subhanAllah, he was amazed. He says, man, you need to be teaching this everywhere. And he says, we need a lot of people like you in America, he says. He says, we need a lot of people like you to tell the people this reality. He says, a lot of Americans don't know this. They think all Muslims are like Bin Laden. I says, no, man. I said, we hate Bin Laden more than you hate him. He said to me, why? I said, because you guys hate Bin Laden only because what he did in New York, right? I said, we hate him, the Muslims, we hate him before that. We hate him because he's doing it in the name of Islam. And it doesn't matter for us. Whatever, if a Muslim terrorist does anything in America, in England, in Russia, in China, in Brazil, in Kenya, in Saudi, in Morocco, in Egypt, in Pakistan, doesn't matter to us. We don't look at the country, we look at the action. The action, it is not from Islam. It's hated, that's a crime against humanity. And the man was amazed. I said, let me tell you an example. Didn't Bin Laden do this same thing? They doing the same explosions and bombing in Saudi, in Morocco, in Egypt, in Yemen, in Algeria? He says, you're right. He says, yeah, those people don't care. America, non-America, it's all the same to them. And the man, he was very happy. He's like, that's amazing. He says, you need to talk about this more. And he got hyped, you know. So alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. So the Shaykh says, yes, for those people who travel for the da'wah purpose, if they are qualified and if they see the result, he says, because Lara, those countries, non-Muslim countries, they have laymen who don't know what's going on. If somebody came to them nicely, alhamdulillah, and talked to them, they will accept it. And I think you know what I'm talking about. Because many of our beloved brothers who we know and love for the sake of Allah, we don't have the same mother. We don't even have the same country. But they're Muslims now. And they used to be Christians. Some of them used to be Jews. Some used to be Hindus. And some used to be Rafidis. Now, alhamdulillah, they are Muslims.
They're practicing the correct Islam.
Because somebody talks to them. That's why you understand this. The second type of hijrah, hijratul amal. What does it mean? Mean that a person leave off an evil action. Leave off sin and disobeying Allah. As the Prophet said, المسلم من سلم المسلمون من لسانه ويده والمهاجر من هجر ما نهى الله عنه. The Muslim, the true Muslim, is the one that Muslims are saved from his tongue and his hand. And the true muhajir, immigrant, is the one who leave off what Allah has made forbidden. Just collect the Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, rahimahum Allah. So he says, so therefore, fahjur, leave off all what Allah has made haram. Whether those things that are related to the rights of Allah or the rights of the servants of Allah. So leave off sab, abusing people, slandering them, backbiting them, lying against them, cheating, killing, and all that. Cheating the people, taking the people's wealth with falsehood. Leave off disrespecting the parents or the your family members. Everything that Allah has made haram, leave it, make hijrah from it, by forsaking it. He said, even if your soul tell you to do something that is evil, fight your desires and remind yourself and your soul that this is something that is forbidden, and Allah made things forbidden because there is no good in them. Al-Qasm al-Thalith, Hijratul Amil. The third is when you boycott and leave off someone who's doing evil. مثل الرجل المجاهر بالمعصية. An example, the Shaykh says, a person who's committing a sin but openly. Yeah, people commit sin but they do it between them and between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But some people, they do it openly. He said, those people now you boycott them, but the Shaykh says, if there is a need, if there is a benefit for them, if there is no benefit for them, you don't boycott them. And the Shaykh said, it says, for example, somebody who's known rich, he cheats people. When he buy and sell, he cheats. That person, he says, if the people boycott him, so that he can, now he's like, subhanAllah, Muslims are boycotting me, who I'm going to deal with, these are my brothers, these are my people, my friends, nobody is talking to me now. Now he may repent. Because he knows why they boycotting him. They're not boycotting him because he's Arab or he's non-Arab, he's white, he's black. No. He's from this country and the other country. It doesn't matter. No, because of his actions. He's cheating the people. And they tell him, listen, man, we advise you. And you continue to cheat the people. That's it, man. We're not dealing with you anymore. So if that person repents to Allah and says, no, I'm going to stop this because I can't afford it. I have no friends, no family, nobody. I lost everybody for the money, forget about it. And he stopped, that's good for him. Likewise, somebody who deals with riba, with interest, he sells and deals with riba, he's advised, if he doesn't listen, to be boycotted. But the Shaykh, rahimahu wa ta'ala, he says, but this only if boycotting them brings a benefit to them. But if it doesn't bring benefit, he says no. You continue to give him advice and continue to be nice to them and give him sincere advice, because boycotting a person should be bringing some benefits for him. Then the Shaykh mentioned some of the statements. He says, فَيُنْظَرْ هَلِ الْهَجْرُ يُفِيدْ أَمْ لَا فَإِنْ أَفَادَ فَإِنَّهُ يُهْجَرْ. He says, look at boycotting people. Is it beneficial for them or not? If it's beneficial, yes. And he mentioned the Dalil. The Prophet ﷺ boycotted Ka'b ibn Malik and Hilal ibn Umayyah and Murar ibn Rabi'ah radiallahu anhum. الَّذِينَ تَخَلَّفُوا عَنَ غَزْوَةِ تَبُوكَ فَهَزَرَهُمُ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. Because these are three companions that they didn't participate in the battle of Tabuk. And the Prophet ﷺ, he boycotted them for 50 days. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the repentance, alhamdulillah, and there is ayat in the Quran that we recite until now, until the day of judgment, inshaAllah ta'ala, pertaining to the repentance. The Prophet ﷺ, he commanded the Muslims to boycott them, but they benefited from that boycotting. These three, they benefited tremendously, the Shaykh says, because they turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they ask Allah, and they cry, and they grieve, and they repented, and Allah accepted their repentance. فَتَابُوا وَتَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. So they repented, and Allah accepted their repentance. Then the Shaykh said, this is the three types of hijrah. To leave a place, to make hijrah from a place, or to leave off an action, an evil action, or to leave off and forsake and boycott a wrongdoer, somebody who's doing bad, with the explanation the Shaykh has given. We'll stop here, inshallah ta'ala, for today. And next time, inshallah ta'ala, we'll go ahead and read to you the explanation of the second hadith on the authority of Umm al-Mu'mineen, Umm Abdullah Aisha, radiallahu anha. Subhanakallahu bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.